The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness. Now, in its 28th year, your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor, and while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
Since this is one of the first shows of the year, let's talk about some of the first doctors in civilization. I looked into my retrospectroscope and went back to about circa 1550 BC, and that was ancient Egyptian medicine. They thought washing hands, Egyptian doctors understood that hygiene was vital, but they mistakenly believed that the water from the Nile was purified. Not. How about utensils? Surgical materials were improved and became more precise due to the anatomical knowledge gained from the mummification process back in ancient Egyptian times. Doctors were some of the most well-respected figures, just like today, back in Egyptian society. In their clinical practices, they used medical equipment, remedies, and prayers to the gods, and assistants. Most doctors would have assistants to keep patients immobilized to help with equipment. An assistant was also a sign of status. Of course, back then, they had a lot less anesthetics, so they had to assistants had to hold them down in surgical procedures. Convalescence. Egyptians did not know about anesthesia. Oh, yeah, here we go. So patients would be conscious when operated on and treated. However, they did use different types of painkillers and drugs, which helped to numb patient pain, not anywhere near what we have today in modern medicine. And in the pharmacopoeia, they had remedies with medicinal properties. Many of those were recorded in the papyrus. That included instructions on their preparation, and they had some of the same material that's still available today. And then finally, witch doctors. Now, witch doctors would you use to treat? No. Witch doctors. I'm talking about witch doctors. Despite having a good understanding of the human body, Egyptian doctors also believed in the power of spirits to heal. Witch doctor would make the necessary magic spells to make the treatment more effective and increase the chances of success. Well, so much for ancient medicine. Let's bring you up to speed to modern medicine and talk about drugs. I mentioned anesthetics. There's a lot of pain-killing drugs out there, and unfortunately, one that's been used and abused way too often and too much is the opioid category of drugs. Now, this is interesting. The use of marijuana in the workplace has risen slightly due to the, this is from Hawaii, the state's first medical cannabis dispensaries. They found that the incidence of workplace drug use has gone up statistically. Diagnostic Laboratory Services, which measures workplace drug use, they use a quarterly sample. They typically test about 10,000, do 10,000 drug tests. And they say opiate use actually fell. That's a good thing, but only slightly. Whereas the use of synthetic urine, that's a whole other program, folks, where people carry in a fake bag or, you know, have a hose. And I've read about it, and it's amazing how sophisticated it can be. And, you know, you pee in the cup, but it's not your pee. It's somebody else's pee. And that can, they use it to mask drugs and or they use other things besides maybe not somebody else's pee, but it could be other substances. Anyway, in general, they say about 5% of workers test positive for drugs in the workplace, which that's just a fraction of the general population, so it's much higher than that. So in this hour of the program, we're going to talk about that. We're going to tackle opioid addiction. Dr. Stephen Hall, medical physician, joining us in just a few minutes. Oh, by the way, I'm David Snow, and this is Dr. Health Radio. Thanks so much for joining us and making us a part of your weekend, which we do hope to make strong and healthy with the information we have for you this morning. And in this first segment, after our Fitness File, Sexual Health, and Funny Bone Pharmacy segments, we'll have Dr. Stephen Hall talking about, he has some interesting, a little different take on opioid addiction treatments, which is very successful, but it's not necessarily the norm. So he'll talk about those and why they can be just as effective, if not more effective, than conventional therapies. And then later in the hour, Ted Larkins joins us. He's the author of Get to Be Happy. He's worked with some of the biggest entertainers and highest profile people on the planet, Bon Jovi, Celine Dion, Oprah, and many others. And he'll talk about some of the things that we can do to make those resolutions stick and how to be happy as well as healthy during the new year. All right, this is interesting. Let's go to the fitness file first. All right. Recent research from Ball State University shows that lifelong exercise preserves skeletal muscle I knew I was going to screw up on this word. You know, your capillaries, well, it's capillarization. That's basically your blood vessels. It helps to preserve those and make new ones. As well as aerobic enzymes, which help to break down your glycogen. That's why you'll have better blood sugar profiles, regardless of your activity, if you do exercise. So what does this all mean? Well, basically better muscle function, which allows you to run or work out harder and for many years to come and longer. Another bonus is that lifelong exercisers have a higher VO2 max boost. That's basically how your body processes oxygen. The higher the VO2 max number, basically the better shape you're in. Okay, basically, using that word too much. All right, and then it's interesting that women in this group had VO2 maxes similar to people 15 years younger than them, but the men had VO2 maxes similar to those who are 35 years younger. So even more important for men, or it's a more profound difference when men exercise, or if they're a lifelong exerciser versus women. Also important to note is that the intensity of the exercise didn't seem to matter for cardiac capacity boosts or the muscle health benefits. So the bottom line is, if you exercise regularly year after year, you're going to have better overall health, and you'll have all of these other side effects, or side benefits, rather. And lastly, the 75-year-olds in this study, for instance, had similar cardiovascular health to 40 and 45-year-olds. So exercise truly is the fountain of youth. Never forget that. All right, in matters of sexual health, your breast's best friend for you women out there. Well, this is not new research, but worth noting and reviewing. Roswell Park Cancer Institute in Buffalo, they analyzed diets of 740 women with breast cancer and 800 tumor-free women, and they found that women who ate 2 half-cup broccoli servings per week had 40% lower risk of breast cancer compared to those who averaged just 1 serving per week. And that's because of broccoli's compounds, the indoles and sulforaphane. That's another anti-cancer compound. That's it's a chemical that, or a compound that clears chemicals, carcinogens out of your system. And these same components occur in smaller amounts in other vegetables. If you don't like broccoli, like President Bush didn't, you can go for maybe Brussels sprouts or cauliflower, kale, cabbage. You know, there's many other vegetables in the cruciferous family. But broccoli, in fact, broccoli sprouts specifically, have something like 40 times more sulforaphane than broccoli does. So although they're hard to find, you can grow them yourself, though, if you have the broccoli seeds. And some stores do have those available. But broccoli, and another important point, too, that this article didn't mention, but I want to point out, and that is that raw broccoli has many, many times more compounds, or, you know, you destroy some of these anti-cancer compounds when you do cook it. But it's better cook broccoli than no broccoli at all. But make sure you chop some raw broccoli into your salads. And just use the florets, the tops of the broccoli. Don't use the stems. Those don't have as much. Plus, they don't, you know, they're fibrous and they don't taste as good. All right. So much for broccoli. Speaking of breast cancer, and this, just a review on this, and this is not new news, but as we always say, 82% of our information is new, 18% review, and it's all good for you. So Spanish investigators, this was reported in the International Journal of Cancer, they did a six-year study of over 3,000 adults, both women and men, and subjects who regularly ate dinner at least 2 hours before turning in for the night were 20% less likely to develop breast cancer than those who typically went to bed shortly after dinner. All right. And genes change during pregnancy for women. Let's see. This is from Emory University. It's interesting that they took blood samples from 63 women early and late in pregnancy to investigate changes in gene expression, and they found that many of the changes occurred in genes involved in the immune system and circulatory systems. And there are also changes that protect the fetus from the mother's immune system. So, you know, never underestimate the importance of a healthy gestation period, you know, when as far as not drinking alcohol, number one, and taking prescription drugs or illicit drugs, or you know, even coffee. Too much caffeine is deleterious. You really have to stay on a strict diet if you're pregnant, and make sure you get a good prenatal with enough folic acid if you're not eating enough vegetables, because that's the main cause of birth defects. The neurotube defects is deficiency in folic acid. All right, let's go to the Funny Bone Pharmacy. All right, here are some made-up words that actually have meanings, and some are, well, I tried to pick most that were health-related somewhat. Excuse me. Athlethargy. What's athlethargy? The triumph of the lazy boy recliner over the Stairmaster. So I guess more lethargic than athletic is athlethargy. How about beer board? To extract secret information from colleagues by getting them drunk. Oh, boy. That'll get you in trouble, or somebody in trouble. Carcolepsy. You know what narcolepsy is, a sleeping sickness. Well, carcolepsy is the tendency to fall asleep as soon as the car starts moving. I know a lot of children that have that condition. And speaking of cars and driving, caroma. Any idea what caroma is? That's the smell of that month-old bean burrito under the front seat that you forgot that keeps you out of the carpool. Caroma. All right. And how about selfish? That's C-E-L-L, selfish. Someone who talks on the phone to the exclusion of those he or she is with. You know, you've seen this. I mean, I'm sure you've experienced this. People are right in front of you, and they're totally ignoring you like you're not even there because they're engrossed in a conversation on their cell phone. How about chip teas? That's a bag of potato chips that seems full but is mostly air. And finally, destinesia. When you get where you intended to go, but forgot why you wanted to go there. All right, I had a bout of destinesia. All right, when we come back, we'll have Dr. Stephen Hall talking about opioid addiction. Plus, much more information to come. Also, Dick Allgaier's health report later in the hour, so stick around if you want to stay healthy. Back right after this as Dr. Health Radio continues.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's that time of year again when everyone suffers from some kind of upper respiratory problem. We miss work and feel miserable spending too much time with doctors and pharmacists. That is, unless we protect ourselves and our families with a product that I recommend to my patients, Clear Saline Nasal Spray and Sinus Rinse. Clear combines the unique properties of xylitol and the health-promoting benefits of a saline nasal spray to help cleanse, moisturize, and soothe your sinuses and nasal passages. Clear helps wash away bacteria, pollens, and other irritants before they have a chance to attack the sensitive tissues in your upper respiratory tract. Clear is easy to use, effective, and safe for people of all ages. Clear is simply your best defense in an increasingly dirty and polluted world. I use it myself. You can find Clear Saline Nasal Spray and Sinus Wash at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, CVS, Rite Aid, and other drugstore supermarkets and pharmacies near you, as well as Amazon. Or you can visit Clear on the web at clear.com. That's www.xlear.com.
By now, you've heard about the popularity of products containing cannabis-based CBD because of the many benefits people are experiencing by taking them. What you may not know, though, is that there are other plants besides cannabis that contain these same cannabinoids. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the global leader in the research and development of plant-based phytocannabinoids, offers you five dual-acting formulas for the results you expect. Choose from Bliss, Brain, Calm, Inflame, and Sleep. And no matter which doctor-formulated product you choose, you can feel confident that every one of Emerald's safe and effective science-based nutritional supplements are the best value for the price. So if you're someone who's looking for more vibrant health and energy, stop by your favorite health store today to check out the next big thing, the hot products from Emerald Health Bioceuticals, or check them out at emeraldhealthbio.com. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the endocannabinoid company.
With all the news about side effects of prescription and OTC anti-inflammatories, just launched is Xanthocin, a very potent yet safe anti-inflammatory supplement for health and longevity. Xanthocin is the result of decades of research on the natural compound astaxanthin, proved to support inflammatory health without the side effects. And Xanthocin is a pure and highly absorbed form of astaxanthin, endorsed by doctors and healthcare professionals for superior health and anti-aging benefits, backed by 1,500 peer-reviewed papers and over 50 human trials. It's also potent. In fact, just two capsules of Xanthocin with a meal equals six capsules of other astaxanthin products. So enhance your supplement regimen today by adding Xanthocin to support your inflammatory health and longevity. You can find physician-endorsed Xanthocin at all GNC locations in Hawaii and the mainland, or order it online at xanthocin.com.
Welcome back to Lifestyles of the Fit and Healthy here on Dr. Health Radio. Dr. Health's the name, wellness is the game. Let's get to one last announcement I failed to make before the break, before we get Dr. Stephen Hall on the line. Last week we talked about what you can do to stay younger by taking particular nutrients that affect and, well, they basically lengthen your telomeres, the end of your chromosomes that affect aging. And we had a life extension researcher on the show that explained that in detail. Now, for those of you that did not get the number for telovite or televite, you know, it's tomato, tomato, however you want to say it, the telomeres, the ends of your chromosomes that we were talking about, but the product name that has all these nutrients that help to extend your telomeres and lengthen your health and life. Longevity is called Televite, and in case you get the number, it's 844. It's 844 toll free, 426-4769, and they had some kind of special offer, which I forgot what it was. But if you do want to get it, and it's a complete multivitamin, so you don't have to add anything to it. Basically, if you take a multivitamin anyway. For a few cents more, this gives you 14 key ingredients that are going to lengthen your telomeres for greater health and longevity. Or you can go to ordertelovite.com, and that's TELOVITE.com. Ordertelovite.com. Okay, I just want to mention that from last week's show, a little unfinished business there. All right, in this segment of the program, Dr. Stephen Hall is the author of The 7 Tools of Healing, Unlock Your Inner Wisdom and Live the Life Your Soul Desires. He is a specialist in opioid addiction treatment and many other aspects of functional and integrative medicine, and we welcome him to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning, Dr. Hall. How the health are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Sounds like you are too.
Excellent. Yes, I am. If I felt any better, I couldn't stand it. No, just kidding. Now I'm curious, why do you see addiction as feeling management? You mentioned feeling management in your work. How is that defined?
Well, that's actually my definition of addiction, is feeling management. So anytime you're trying to not feel however you're feeling right now, or trying to create feeling a different way, then that's what I call addiction. And so there's all kinds of different addictions. Work can be an addiction. Video games can be an addiction. Reading, sex. There's basically anything that sort of takes your mind off of your present moment can be done in an addictive way. And so it's not a coincidence that most medications that are addicting are medications that change your moods or alter your moods in some way.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of drugs and both illicit and pharmaceutical, Dr. Hall, you've probably heard the line, reality is for people who can't handle drugs, which is not too far from the truth when it comes to certain individuals out there. Is it people just wanting to escape from reality and that's why they resort to drugs?
I think in a large part, their own personal reality. A lot of people have, really painful pasts, for example.
Sure.
Or have had painful things happen to them and may not have other tools for how to put that to rest or to stop being influenced by it. And The pressure just builds up to escape over time.
And the first thing that comes in my mind when you mention that is PTSD survivors. People in the military or if you've had any traumatic experience, but especially, most of the time it is from people in that have seen combat or action on the front lines.
I've even seen people get PTSD symptoms after going through labor.
Oh, really? Huh.
And a lot of people have it from, childhood issues,
right.
Being abandoned or being abused in some way.
Yep.
Right. So, that's a difficult problem.
So do we, if we want to change our feelings, is that your mode of therapy so that you can help the person overcome addiction? Is changing the feelings the first area to go to, or what's your first step for a patient?
Well, the first step is, I think the first step would be to address, what is their pain? And, for a lot of people, they are living with chronic physical pain. But they also might be living with chronic emotional pain, and maybe they get started on an opiate after a minor surgery or a dental procedure, and
sure.
They find out that, this is helping my emotional pain too, and then they kind of get hooked on it. So I think the first thing is to really explore, what are the person's pain symptoms? What's causing their pain? And if it's a physical thing, there's actually quite a bit that can be done to help their pain, usually with nutrition, with lifestyle, with even acupuncture. There's things besides medications that can usually get the person out of pain.
Mm-hmm.
There's things you can do with supplements and nutrition to really get the inflammatory process to calm down in a person's body.
But it's nowhere near. I mean, obviously, the reason opioids are so popular and commonly prescribed, well, maybe not so commonly now because of all the restrictions and the new guidelines and regulations, but it's because it's such a pronounced state of relief. I mean, it's 100 times stronger than many other, or 50 times stronger than many other drugs or natural product, remedies out there. So how do you address that when it's so effective in such a short period of time? I mean, instantaneous.
Yeah, well, that is one of the problems, is that they work.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say about anti-anxiety meds, too. One of the problems is that they work. And
But it's a Band-Aid approach, right? I mean, you're treating the symptoms, but without necessarily getting to the root cause.
Right. Well, hopefully, for a lot of people, their cause of pain is short-term.
Recovering
from a surgery.
Exactly,
or
right.
A broken bone.
Yeah.
And in that setting, short-term opioid use might be called for. The problem is when there's more prolonged pain, like severe arthritis or degenerative joint disease or back pain or cancer pain or, you know, and then, of course, the people with the severe psychological pain, and fibromyalgia, things like that. So I think a person, you know, a physician or a practitioner needs to be really, really careful with starting opioids in a situation of chronic pain.
Okay, so you do a multifactorial approach for chronic pain for your patients?
Right.
Or multimodality, I should say.
Yeah, trying to get to the root cause.
Mm-hmm.
And then do supportive things as much as possible. So what's interesting is, you know, pain is a perception. And some people feel a lot of pain where other people in the same situation might hardly feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
And what they learned a long time ago, for example, is that they can use hypnosis to help manage pain. And in fact, even way back in the late 70s, early 80s, when I was going through training, there was a pain clinic in the town where I was training that was using hypnosis to treat chronic pain, and
uh-huh.
they could literally tell a person's mind to just turn off that sensation, and it would.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, so your mind can control any sensory information that comes in. So a real classic example is you walk into a friend's house, and you first walk in, it has an unusual smell, but, you know, like smells like your friend's house, and that. But after a few minutes, you don't notice that smell anymore.
Mm. Right.
And it's not because your nose has filtered out all the chemicals in the air that were causing that smell. It's because your brain says, well, okay, I registered it. It's not a threat.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, since you mentioned sensitivity, what about people that are more sensitive than others? I mean, I have a low threshold of pain, for medical procedures, et cetera, and various people have various levels of pain tolerance, but for extra sensitive people, I don't know if you've heard of Dr. We had him on about a year ago, Dr. Joel Salinas. He has a book out called, I think it's called The Mirror Synesthesia, and he's a very, very sensitive people. He can actually, it's a doctor who actually feels his patient's pain. He suffers all the signs and symptoms once he gets together with the patient, and so he knows exactly what they're going through. He's that sensitive. So how do you interpret, or how do you treat people that are maybe more sensitive than the average patient out there?
Well, every addict I've ever worked with so far, I'm keeping my eye open, but they all seem to have three personality traits in common.
And what are those?
So They're all real bright,
hmm.
they're all real sensitive, and they're all real creative.
Is that right? Huh.
Yeah, and so if you put those three traits together in the same person, you know, in one person, and put them down into this, I call it like the cesspool of humanity, you know, where there's so much human pain and suffering going on, and we're inflicting a lot of pain and suffering on the environment, and, you know, I mean, they feel it.
Uh-huh.
And it hurts, and it creates this, like, pressure inside. And so I think that the key is to, so how do you take those three personality traits that might be functioning like a curse? Because they're intelligent enough to see through a lot of hogwash. You know, they can tell when something's fake or something isn't genuine.
Uh-huh.
And then like I said, they can pick up other people's feelings. And oftentimes, once you pick up somebody else's feeling, to you, it feels like yours. And unless you learn how to use the
right.
become aware, you can't tell if it's yours or somebody else's. And so you still suffer from it as if it's yours. And if you imagine these kids when they're little and they're sitting in, say, their first grade class with 30 other students.
Uh-huh.
Well, statistically, how many of those 30 students are getting abused at home?
Oh. Hmm.
You know, five or six of them probably or more.
Uh-huh.
And so the sensitive child is feeling all that stuff in the classroom. And they might not be getting abused themselves, but they're feeling it.
I see. Okay.
Just like this doctor, he's probably honed his sense, but I've got
pain. No, he said I believe if I remember correctly, he was born with it. He remembers it as a child.
I've got patients that can do the same thing.
Yeah.
And I've learned how to do that to some extent when I'm working on my patients to feel what they're feeling. And, you know, it helps to interpret what's going on with
them. Of course, yeah.
But I don't take it on and own it. I help them figure out. So learning how to become aware of what you're picking up and is it yours, is it not yours. And then... So that's an important skill that people can learn with practice.
Uh-huh.
But then what do you do with what you pick up? That's another important question. And a lot of recovery programs or therapy programs tell them to just, you know, exclude it or give it back or do something. And what I say is, well, if you just, you know, exclude that pain, it's going to go stick to the next sensitive person who's unconscious about it.
Mm.
And so it turns out there's a way to actually transform those low frequency or think of them like low vibrational energies, you know, like anger and resentment, revenge, and, you know, those kinds of energies, and transform them up into higher energies like love and acceptance and forgiveness and things, and then beam that transformed energy back out into the room.
All right. Well, you know, you, all the things you're explaining, Dr. Hall, you sound like three doctors in one, a physician, a psychologist, and a psychiatrist. So you get three doctors for the price of one when you go to Dr. Stephen Hall. I mean, I don't mean to make light of it. I just want to compliment you on that. I mean, you're truly holistic. In fact, I want to mention to the listeners that, and we talked earlier in the week, that you're going to be on later in the month talking about functional medicine and some of the integrative medical therapies that you use. You alluded to acupuncture a little earlier, and then some of the other, you know, you bring the holistic and conventional therapies together, whatever works and whatever is the most effective for your patients and people out there listening. Let's just end because we need to take a bottom hour break and then we're on to our next guest. But you contend that there are three steps to effectively treating an opioid addictive patient. Can you go through those for us, please?
So the first step is to address their pain. The second step is to teach them how to be healthy with their feelings. And that's a whole process, so they don't have to avoid them. And then once those two pieces are in place, then we can medically detox them off of the medication.
Oh, okay.
And so that's how I approach the...
Okay, so the detox, it's not just... because typically people go to a clinic to detox if they're suffering from opioid addiction, but you say the first two are the foundation before you go to the detox step.
Right, because most detox isn't real detox. They're just putting them on a different opiate.
Ah, right, like right.
Suboxone is also an opiate. It's not an answer to the problem.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, on that note, can people get... how can people get your book, The Seven Tools of Healing, first of all?
It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And I have that website, thesevntools.com, where there's lots of free resources for people. There's classes to take. There's coaching.
Okay.
But there's like meditations and mindfulness practices people can download for free on that web. It's the seven with the number seven, thesevntools.com.
Do you realize you're a somewhat unusual medical doctor? I mean, I'm complimenting you again. I'm not making light or making fun of you. I'm acknowledging you for what you're doing. I mean, you're really truly a holistic medical physician. So I want to thank you for doing what you do for your patients and for our listeners. Dr. Hall, we look forward to bringing you back in a few weeks. And again, that website is thesevntools.com, seventools.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Stephen Hall, for being with us.
And thank you for all you're doing to make the world a better place.
Well, It's our pleasure, and my community service. That's kind of my passion. So, and please keep following your passion as well, and we'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Bye-bye.
All right, there goes Dr. Stephen Hall. And when we come back, we'll have Ted Larkins talking about how to be happier this year. He has the book called Get to Be Happy. He's worked with some of the biggest entertainers in showbiz and around the world, Celine Dion, golf legend Jack Nicklaus, Bon Jovi, many others, and he's lived life in the fast lane. He'll tell you how to live life in the healthy lane when we come back from this brief break. I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio. Don't go anywhere if you want to stay healthy. Back right after this as Dr. Health Radio continues.
When it comes to probiotics, why do employees, managers, and owners of health stores recommend and personally take Theralac more than any other brand? Results. Fast results. In fact, Theralac is the fastest-acting medicinal-strength probiotic. With patented stomach acid-resistant delivery, prebiotic stimulation, and guaranteed potency, Theralac restores regularity fast while providing all the long-term benefits of a superior probiotic supplement. Don't be fooled by probiotic products that promise higher potencies or more strains of beneficial bacteria. High potency means nothing without delivery, and more strains are not necessarily better. Theralac is optimally formulated for results. Theralac, the high-potency probiotic with guaranteed strength, delivery, and stimulation, supporting your digestion, regularity, and immunity. Theralac, available in the refrigerated section of your favorite health store. For more information, go to Theralac.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. It's me, your immune system. I'm always hard at work defending you against the many disease-causing viruses and bacteria that you are exposed to every day. But sometimes I need help to defeat the bad bugs. Luckily, our friends at Kyolic have come to the rescue. Kyolic has two super immune-enhancing supplements, Kyolic Immune Formula 103 and Kyo Green Harvest Blend Immune Defense. Kyo Green Harvest Blend is a power-packed blend of organic and naturally sourced grasses, ancient grains, fruits, veggies, herbal extracts, and spirulina in a fast dissolving drink mix for a quick and easy way to support immunity. Kyolic Immune Formula 103 combines immune boosting nutrients with aged garlic extract. Aged garlic extract has been clinically shown to support a healthy immune response and reduce both the duration and severity of cold and flu symptoms. Help me protect you with Kyolic supplements and nutritional drink mixes to fortify your immune health today. Available at fine natural health retailers.
Curcumin-rich Theracurmin from Natural Factors is a special form of curcumin, the yellow pigment of turmeric that has shown many wondrous health benefits. Theracurmin represents a major scientific breakthrough. Clinical studies show that when it comes to absorption, Theracurmin is by far number one. Finally, the powerful health benefits of curcumin can be realized with curcumin-rich Theracurmin. To learn more, visit naturalfactors.com.
His name is Mr. Snow. And
that would be me. Well, thank you very much. And thank you very much for joining us and making us a part of your weekend. A reminder, our show does rebroadcast tonight on the station you're listening to right now, 9 p.m. So 9 a.m. is the live show, 9 p.m. is the rebroadcast. So Saturday Night Healthy right here on every week on Dr. Health Radio. All right, in this segment of the program, Ted Larkins is with us. He's the author of Get to Be Happy. I thought we'd have a little lightness into our add a little lightness into our programming for the month of January to get you to be happy as well as healthy for the year of 2019, which we're just starting out with. And he's been in the entertainment industry for quite a few years. Lived in Japan for almost a decade. He has worked with big names like Bon Jovi and Celine Dion and golf legend Jack Nicklaus, to name just a few. But we'd like to have him on to talk about some change management. He's actually a coach for change management. That's a new one on me, I must admit. I've heard of life coaches and health coaches, but not change coaches. So we'll hopefully have him change us for the better. And we welcome Ted Larkins to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning, Ted. How the health are you?
Good morning. I'm healthy and fine. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thanks for being out there and getting us happy. Hopefully we'll be a little happier after we hear you than before we were. I always make the guarantee that you will be healthier at the end of Dr. Health than you were at 9 o'clock if you listen to and heed all the information we have for you each and every week at this time. So your entertainment career has enabled you to be around a lot of high-profile people, which I mentioned at the introduction. How do these people differ? I mean, do you find them a lot different than maybe the average normal folk out there? Or what do you find some of the main differences to be in people, you know, the Oprahs of the world and the big celebrities and high-profile dignitaries, et cetera, that you've come across and worked with?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, David. I have met a number of different people in different situations. And, you know, the story I like to tell is when I first met, I had brought John Bon Jovi a slot machine deal. To do a Bon Jovi slot machine and from a Japanese company. And so I brought that from the Japanese company directly to John and helped negotiate that. And when I first met John about a year after the deal had been done, he came over to Tokyo. And I tell you, he was backstage and I was introduced. Oh, this is John and his head that brought this, you know, it's a big deal, you know.
Sure.
And he was a jerk. It was like standoffish. I'm like, what the heck? And, you know, whatever, that's just how the rich and famous are or something. But anyway, that's how it was. But then, about a year later, and we had some communications, but a year later, he came back to Tokyo, he and the band, and once again, we met backstage, and this time, the person introducing me said, oh, I remember Ted. And I'll tell you what, David, he lit up. He said, Ted, hey, buddy, how are you?
Well, because you made maybe $10 million for him. That's why.
No, but I'll tell you what. But I'll tell you what happened. During that time, he learned to trust me. And what I found after that, you know, with meeting Celine Dion and Jack Nicklaus, is, they have to, the celebrities, they have to put a wall up
yes,
to protect themselves
right.
because everybody's after him.
Exactly.
And I was just another one. But I'll tell you what. After that second time, we went out to dinner, we hung out, we spent a week in Tokyo doing, he's the nicest guy in the world. Very successful, very, just really everything that any other human being can be. And what I learned, a big lesson for me was, look, don't judge the celebrities. You look at them, there's going to be jerks just like there's jerks, you know, working out in the streets. And
right.
there's going to be great people just like there's great people. So I think the point of it all is just give everybody the benefit of the doubt. We're all just humans trying to be happy.
Sure.
And that's my message, and that's what I learned.
Well, I think, and I've met a lot and know a lot of celebrities as well, being in media.
Yeah.
And, they're like you said, they're just like us, Ted. And people that put them on a pedestal, I mean, you, to a certain extent, you know, you might be starstruck or something, but they breathe and eat and defecate and do everything else that another another human being does. So it's how we classify people in our society and how that's been the case over millennia. I mean, we've always had people that we held in high regard and then others that not so much. But how would our listeners apply these principles that you have to New Year's health resolutions, for instance?
Well, I'll tell you, there's the first thing is, just to finish up on that, there's a great quote. It's how you see people is how you treat them, and how you treat them is what they become.
Yes, right.
And I think that's an important way to look at not just people, of course, and other situations. And then that can even tie into your question here about, you know, New Year's resolutions. Is really how you see your resolution, what you plan to do, is how you treat it, and how you treat it is what it becomes. And one thing that I teach is called, you know, my book is called Get to Be Happy, and it's based on the Get to principle. And the bottom line is, we don't have to do anything in life. We get to. And that simple shift in how you look at everything in life can be, it's life-changing. And, you know, we grow up in a society that's all about have to, gotta. You know, I gotta get a cup of coffee. I gotta go play with my son. I have to do the dishes. And I'm not saying you don't have to do the dishes. If you don't, they'll pile up and stink. But if you just change it and say, I get to.
That's good. I like that. It changes your mindset.
It does. And when you say it, in that moment when you say, I get to, your mind gets quiet and you feel compassion for others that don't have what you have, and you feel appreciation for what you do have. And even when you're doing the dishes and you say, wow, I get to, think of the people that aren't having food. And then you do a little bit more of the dishes and you say, I get to, and you think, wow, look at what I just got to eat. And it really is a mind shift that really changes how you look at life. And it's really powerful, and you can apply it to, working out or losing weight or whatever resolution you may have. I get to do this.
Or just living, Ted, just living. You get to grow old. I mean, think of the people that don't get to grow old. Mm-hmm. It's because they either had an accident or that for whatever reason they died young. Mm-hmm. But what's the song go? Only the good die young. I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, right.
But
I think you're right, and you can apply it. You can apply it anywhere. And it is, David, isn't it? Only everything from how you look at life. You can look at it as a glass half full or half empty. That thing or whatever. But it really is just an energy, a feeling that you have on every moment on how you look at life.
Or the Ted, if I could just interject, the wine connoisseur that there's the glass half empty or half full. But then the wine connoisseur says, no, you're missing the point. The glass is refillable. But that's another program. Okay, go ahead with your thought. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, that's okay. I think the whole point is, do we look at, the universe or our reality as a, do we look at the universe as a friendly place? Or do we look at it as a struggle? And it's really that viewpoint that I work on when I share with people, when I coach people. It's really I'm helping them to, and myself, look at, I do it every day. And, to say, look, this is really a pretty amazing experience we're having. The eyes look out and experience the light forms and all this that's going on. And, as soon as we can get our minds to quiet a little bit and really get present to this miracle that's happening, it's pretty powerful. It's really cool. It's not easy. Look, we're struggling. There are some really challenging times.
So sure.
I never just say to people, oh, yeah, get happy. No, I get it.
So the attitude of gratitude is what you're talking about.
It is. It is an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
David, it is. And it's not, again, it, and I think the one of the biggest points is really acknowledging, difficult times. It's not pushing it away or brushing over it or, putting mantras on your mirror saying, I am great, I am great. Well, first you say, hey, this is tough. And then say, okay, how do I want to approach it? Do I want to deliberately smile? Which, by the way, when you deliberately smile, stand in the mirror, 30 seconds, deliberately smile, your body, and you're a health guy, releases endorphins and feel joy, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
So why shouldn't we be more deliberate at doing that? And that's what I speak about with the get to. Be more deliberate about saying I get to as often as you can.
Yeah, I mean, no matter how healthy you are, if you're a sourpuss or a grumpy old man, or a grumpy old woman for that matter, but it's not going to serve you well, and you're not going to have as good a life if you go through it not being happy. Sure. And of course, when you're healthy, it's a lot easier to be happy because you're not in pain, you're not suffering, and this and that. But the two go together. It's like nutrition and exercise. You can't separate them. And same with healthy, being healthy and being happy. Now, you worked, before we take our break for Dick Allgaier's Health Report, I want to get this in, because you worked not only with some of the celebrities you mentioned, Celine Dion and so on, the top entertainers and golfers, et cetera. But you worked with some big movie studios. You were a licensing agent, and you worked with all the, Paramount, Sony, MGM, et cetera. As far as working with corporate America, and then you worked with Pepsi and New Balance and other huge companies, how do the people that you dealt with, how do they deal with life in general? Was it just cut and dry business and money, or did you see common folk along the way, or were these people very much different from us?
It's funny. That's a great big question, because I think that the problem with the structure, I don't know if it's a problem, it is the structure, but when you have stockholders, which are most of these companies are governed by, who are the people within the company, they're trying to appease some unattached person out there driving the business, and they lose sight of you know, what's really important, you know, heartfelt communication and things
right.
like that.
Yeah.
And I think in general, that's the nature of it. When you have a, you know, stockholders that don't have any real say in what's going on and people trying to appease them, that's what you're going to get. Some really cut and dry, as you said, and not so friendly, just a friendly thing. But saying that, I tell you, in every organization, I work closely with 20th Century Fox. I was their agent in Japan and Paramount and DreamWorks and Sony. Inside each organization, there were incredible people.
Uh-huh.
I just had some of the most amazing relationships with people that, again, just like the celebrities, you know, they know that they're trying to make budgets, they're trying to make numbers, but in the end, they're just people trying to be happy.
Yeah.
And when you tap into that, when you start listening to people more deliberately,
uh-huh.
that's when you start really feeling the realness of what's going on.
Right, right. Now, I kind of sensed that was the case, even
yeah,
as
sure.
big as those companies are. Just like government, you know, as big as government might be, there's mm-hmm. a few bad apples, but most people are great to be with and interact with and so on. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about TED. Since, you know, and by the way, you know, it's not just NPR that has TED Talk. We have TED Talk talking right now with us. Ted Larkins is joining us, if you're just joining us. And he's the author of Get to Be Happy. We'll tell you how to get his book. And when we come back, Ted, I want you to give us some of your TED tips. I saw a couple YouTube videos of you. And so give us a few words of wisdom and TED tips that you have for our listeners, if you could, after we get back from Dick Allgaier's health report and a brief break for our ability to keep the lights on here in the studio and have you listen to our shows at home or in your workplace, wherever you're listening to us right now. So stick around if you want to stay healthy. Back right after this as Dr. Health Radio continues.
A breathalyzer test could revolutionize cancer diagnosis, and it's being tested in the UK. The breath biopsy device is designed to detect cancer hallmarks in molecules exhaled by patients. Scientists hope this will lead to a simpler, cheaper method of spotting cancers early. The breathalyzer has the potential to save thousands of lives and millions of dollars in healthcare costs, according to the developers. Trials are currently underway. A study of 20 years of veterinary records has shown pudgy dogs die more than 2.5 years earlier than pets of healthy weight. Researchers at the University of Liverpool examined the lifespan of 50,000 dogs from 12 popular breeds. They discovered in all breeds, being overweight reduced longevity from a minimum of 5 months in German Shepherds to 2 years and 6 months for male Yorkshire Terrier. Well, cooling cases for testicles have now been invented by scientists in a bid to boost men's fertility. The CoolMen gadget is attached to a belt and should be worn for 12 to 16 hours a day, up to a month, to boost men's sperm count. Testicles have to be 1 or 2 degrees cooler than a man's body temperature for optimum sperm production, but tight clothes, saunas, and laptops can heat them up. Looking at a picture of this belt right now, I'm not testing it. This is Dick Allgaier, and that is this week's Health Report.
Do you own a dog or a cat? Then you need to know that Noni, Hawaii's most popular medicinal herb for people, can also be used for pets. In fact, thousands of pet owners give their animals Hawaiian Noni fruit leather regularly for energy, pain relief, digestion, and for their skin and coat textures. And for external use, pet owners rave about Hawaiian Health Ohana's lavender Noni lotion for wounds and infections, hot spots from fleas and ticks, and muscle and ligament strains. For more serious applications, there's the Instant Noni Aloe Bio Bandage, a natural salve with ingredients that form a protective healing barrier for maximum results. Natural healing for your pet, made from 100% pure organic Noni. Ask for the Noni Fruit Leather, Lavender Noni Lotion, or Noni Bio Bandage for pets at your nearest pet shop or health products retailer. And visit real-noni.com.
Welcome back to the show, David Snow on your radio. A reminder, our show does rebroadcast tonight at 9 p.m. on the station you're listening to right now, or you can always go and listen to the previous shows at drhealthradio.com. That's drhealthradio.com. Continuing our conversation with Ted Larkins, the author of Get to Be Happy, how can people get our book, your book, Ted, for us?
You can go to tedlarkins.com, that's TEDLARKINS.com. You can get it there, or Amazon, of course, has it.
Amazon has everything, by the way, in case you didn't haven't checked lately.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yep. So that you can get the book there. And on my website, David, you know, I offer a free breakthrough coaching call for anybody interested in learning a little bit more about how to be happy and how to apply the get-to principle in their lives.
Great.
Yeah, very fun.
I just looked at the clock. I can't believe we only have a minute left. Can you give us a few TED tips? Can you? In 1 minute or less?
In 1 minute. My TED tip is to really take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath. Blow it and let it out slowly and just realize you're on a ball hurtling through space and you get to be here. And in that moment, just have great appreciation for the things that you do have.
Get off some of the electronic equipment that people are always on for 10 hours a day, fake book and the Insta-sham or something like that, and fake book. You talked about the law of attraction in one of your segments, and Oprah says this, attract who you are? Is that?
Yeah. So what you want to, the whole theme is, you know, it's not attracting things. It's not doing what you want to do. It's who do you need to be to become what you need to get?
Ah, okay.
And that's the key.
Okay. On that note,
become.
Ted, thank you so much for being there. Keep everybody happy, will you?
I'm going to do what I can, and thanks to people like you getting people healthy, they can be more happy as well.
Well, it was good getting you to be on the program, and I get to do this. It's a fun thing, and keep doing what you're doing. The author of Get to Be Happy, Ted Larkins. Thank you so much, Ted.
Thank you for having me, David.
All right, and here we go with another edition of the program, but join us again next week, same time, same station, for another edition. Until then, I'm David Snow reminding you that it's not how long you live, it's how you live long. Aloha. Have a healthy week.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.